In the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. I was very sad to miss last Sunday, especially with Bishop Phyllis preaching and the yearly occasion of my favorite thing, the St. Cross Annual Meeting. And the first time with the theme of angels and devils, no less. But I confess I was possessed by the same illness as the poor mother-in-law in our story today, a really crummy and energy-sucking fever. Today's gospel starts with Jesus meeting me, just kidding, meeting Simon's mother-in-law, suffering from a fever, which, by the way, can be deadly in a world with no antibiotics. This story is actually the second part of Jesus' very first day on the road as a preacher, teacher, exorcist, and healer, the very first day of his ministry in the Gospel of Mark. What a day. The beginning of this story we heard last week, and I want to look at it all as a whole today. You may recall that Jesus and his brand new disciples have just arrived in Capernaum. When the Sabbath came, which is Friday at sundown, he went to teach in the synagogue where he encountered his first of four demons that the verse calls an unclean spirit. Demon and unclean spirit are the same thing. Unclean spirit being common usage in Judaism in that day. One commentator explains that an unclean spirit or demon is something opposed to the holy. It is attached to the Hebrew Testament commanding the people of God to be holy like God. He states that unclean is something out of place, something that should not be. It implies that holy means life. It means wholeness and completeness. Jesus makes short work of the invader that was preventing wholeness. Be silent and come out of him. And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And yes, we are told, they were all amazed. They were all in awe. I had the opportunity to think about awe just last Sunday. As I was convalescing, I got up just enough energy to read a bit of the LA Times. Along with the riveting coverage of Murrieta Hot Springs opening as a new spa, who knew? There was an article about rediscovering childlike wonder and awe. It featured a UC Berkeley professor named Dr. Keltner, very hard to say actually when you're looking at it, who has studied awe since 1999. He states, awe is an emotion that you feel when you encounter vast things that are mysterious. Wonder is what follows awe. It is a mental state, less so an emotion. It's a mental state where you're curious and wanting to explore, and discover more. There are eight different kinds of wonders, including moral beauty, music, that's no surprise, art, spiritual experiences, who would have guessed? Epiphanies, being in the presence of life and death, nature, and a collective effervescence like we might experience when we go to see a Taylor Swift concert or the 49ers win. Yeah. There is probably nothing more mysterious, more awe-inspiring as Jesus casting out demons left and right. Chances are that none of us has ever met a person truly possessed by a demon. My understanding is that it is exceedingly rare. We know of them, though, through biblical literature, through those who report their lived experience, and through the examination of the topic by Christian exorcists, such as the psychiatrist Dr. M. Scott Peck in his book, Glimpses of the Devil. And of course, most likely for us, through the movies. Today, we tend to think of our demons as things like mental illness, a personality disorder, addiction, perhaps a penchant for criminality. And that is indeed a good and helpful understanding. Hand in hand with the problem of our personal demons is a compelling and common communal problem that is frequently labeled evil. It is represented in this passage by the phrase, "The whole city was gathered at the door." You can just feel that everyone is suffering in some way. The clamoring of deep human need is palpable. Everyone, not just those who are physically ill or known to have possessed a kind of demon, everyone is in need of Jesus' healing touch as a community. Father Richard Rohr explains this human phenomenon. He says that evil is often culturally agreed upon, admired, and deemed necessary, as is normally the case when a country goes to war, spends most of its budget on armaments instead of education, admires luxuries over necessities like healthy food and housing, entertains itself to death, or pollutes its own common water and air. Evil is usually very subtle because it hides itself in what appears to be good. Notice also in this story that not one person is alone. Anyone with a physical illness is there. Everyone with any kind of demon is present. All those immune and unaware of the evils we have done and the evils done on our behalf, which we say every week, everyone is there. All of us are crammed in the house or standing at the door together. We, as a faith community, live in that house. We live in the presence of each other, and we live in the presence of God. We are here to serve one another. We are here to listen, to empathize, to support and care for one another, to share what in 12-step spirituality is called our experience, our hope, our faith, when we are called upon. In so doing, like Simon's mother-in-law, we are serving God itself. As we move into the season of Lent, perhaps we can still encounter epiphanies. I invite us all to wonder, what is keeping us from wholeness now? Recall what the professor said. Wonder is a mental state where you're curious and wanting to explore and discover. This question is not about self-criticism. It asks, can we be curious about where there are things that should not be, things that are out of place? How and why are we missing the aha, awe-inspiring, wondrous moments? Maybe in resistance to change, maybe in refusal to seek care for mental health or physical conditions that need attending to. Maybe it's a feeling of superiority or prejudice against a group that just lies under the surface, almost undetectable. Maybe we're just worn out a need to commit to time away. Perhaps the most vital need is to be gentle with our souls. The possibilities are endless. When we put our trust and hope in God, the possibilities for transformation, healing, and restoration are also endless. And then it really isn't trite to say, expect the unexpected. Expect the awesome and the wondrous. God is an expert at that game. And that is very good news indeed. Amen.